School's out for the summer, but it's not too early to give your child the edge for the 2017-2018 school year. Our tutoring program for reading, writing, and math for grades kindergarten through 10th grade will be held on August 1st, 3rd, 8th, 10th, 15th, and 17th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. To register your child, contact Community Outreach Coordinator Stephanie DaCosta at 215-885-2585, extension 304.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
You heard the story of the man who came home to his pregnant wife. And she's laying on the sofa with her feet up. And he walked in and he said, "Whoo, I've been working hard all day. And you laying up here in the chair with your feet up." He said, "What'd you do today?" She said, "I made a lung." And daddy, I know they say this is your day, but you can get up in the morning, take your son out to football practice, work with them in the rain, teach them how to kick 60-yard field goals, so much so that every college in the East Coast wants them. They go through college, make it to the pros, kick the winning field goal of the Super Bowl game. They bring the microphone to your son. He says, "Hi, Mom." Now, I need you to see the disciples in verse 38. They are afraid. Why? The boat is filling up with water. They're in danger of dying. You know what's happening? When the boat fills with water, it begins to sink. They cry out to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Jesus does not address their neuroses. He does not address their fear. He addresses the cause. In verse 39, he gets up and rebukes the wind and said to the sea, "Peace." And the Bible says, and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, he turns to them in verse 40 and said, "Why are you so fearful?" Boy, if that don't deflate your balloon. The boat is filling up with water. The boat is sinking. Jesus is asleep. And he says, "Why are you scared?" That's a translation. That's Eric's version. He said, "Why are you scared?" And then he says, "Why is it that you have no faith?" "What do you mean, Lord? I'm on your boat. I said, let's go to the other side. I didn't say, let's go halfway out and die." If God told you to buy the house, if God told you to rent the apartment, if God told you to buy the car, you can't lose it. So why are you afraid when it looks like you can't pay for it? Why, Lord, have mercy. I'm getting ready to run up the aisle, but knowing church folk, they probably tripped me. But watch. Why are you afraid? If God told you to do it, then who told you you were going to lose it? It's like he said to me a couple of weeks ago, the world sets patterns, right? And we believe those patterns. We think that just because the world says that your mortgage is 30 years, God said, "But I didn't say it was going to be 30 years. I'll pay it off in 5 if you ask me." But how many of us ask him? We just accept what the world gives us. The doctor's diagnosis, "Well, they said I got so-and-so." But God said, "I didn't say you had so-and-so. I said you're healed. Now, why don't you rejoice in your healing and watch me fix what the doctor can't repair?" Yeah, I might be asleep on your boat, but I'm on your boat. And if I'm on your boat, you ain't going down. So get your praise on, get your dance on, and show the devil he's a liar. You say, Pastor, that sound good. And it sound like theory. Well, let me tell you something. I was playing baseball over at Finley Field in the summer of 1971. There was a girl sitting up in the stands who was kind of attractive. And I wanted to impress her. So I got a base hit and got on first. And we were always told to look at the third base coach, who would go through a series of signs. But when he touched the bill of his cap, the next sign was the one we were supposed to obey. When he touched the bill of his cap and his nose, that meant steal. So I'm watching Mr. Bob, and he goes through. I said, okay, ain't nothing happening. Then he says, I said, all right. So I'm ready. Pitcher goes into the windup and throws. I'm down to the second base. And I slid, and I looked up, and she was cheering. Now, she wasn't cheering for me. I played on her brother's team. So she's cheering for the team. So I'm into second. And so I'm looking over, and I look down the third base coach, and he does this again. I said, all right. But this time I said, I'm going to hook slide. Now, hook slide means that you as you go in to slide, you take your right foot and put it under your knee so that as you're sliding, you push up, and it's real pretty when it's done right. Your left foot hits the bag, and your right foot push you up, and you can kind of go, yeah. And I just knew that night I was getting a name and a number. He gave the sign. I went barreling down to third. My left foot decided that it was going to backslide, and the spike stuck in the ground, and I went over and broke my tibia in two places. They took my spikes off, and my leg just swole up like a balloon at a carnival. This was a Thursday. They got me home, and I hopped up the steps, and Mama came out, and, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm tough. Nothing. Nothing. Because I knew that if I told her what was wrong, she would beat me. Then she'd minister to me after, because she had told me not to wear these spikes and play. But they didn't know what they were talking about. And so she called my father and told him, she said, Eric, something's wrong with Eric's foot. It's swollen, and we're going to have to take him to the hospital. She said, but we got to wait till the swelling goes down. Mom was a nurse, so she said, they can't x-ray it while it's swollen, so we have to wait. So they put ice on it all night Thursday and all day Friday. And they took me in on Saturday. This was July. They took me in Saturday, and they took me right to orthopedics. And they x-rayed it, and they showed me the break. It looked like a popsicle stick had just snapped. It was a horrible break. The doctor came in, set the foot, wrapped it up in a cast, and he said, you're going to be in this cast for 8 weeks. I said, Doc, that's my whole summer. He said, you're going to be in for 8 weeks. I said, Doc, I can't be in no cast for 8 weeks. I got baseball. I got fun to do. I can't be. He said, you're going to be in for 8 weeks, and we're going to have to reevaluate you in September to determine if they need to put pins in it. That's how badly broken it was. I got the cast on Saturday. Somebody, when they gave me my diagnosis, they forgot to tell God. He stopped by for a second opinion. He was called in on a consult. My doorbell rings, and a saint of God comes named Brother David Mansfield. Brother Mansfield came in and said, I heard you got hurt, because my brother had told some people at church that Eric had broken his ankle and he'd be in a cast for 8 weeks. And Brother Mansfield came to my house. Brother Mansfield said, let me pray for you. I said, go ahead. I knew he was a man of God. I had not yet gotten full of the Holy Ghost, but I just knew this was a man of God. And he came in and he said these words, Lord, let him feel the heat of your healing power. Let him know that you are still a God that heals. He put his hands on the cast. I felt fire go down from my knee to my toe, and then ice coming back up from my toe to my knee. I put my foot down and start stomping on it. I believed God had healed it and touched it. I went outside and started playing baseball with my friends. I couldn't run, but I could hit. I was riding bicycles and playing dodgeball. I couldn't run, but I could be the end man. When they took me back to the hospital, Dr. Gerber said, I walked in with my crutches over my shoulder. Dr. Gerber said, you ain't supposed to be walking. I said, tell God that. I said, it's apparent that God did not listen to you. I'm walking around with the thing. He's looking at the x-ray, showing it to the other doctor. He said, I don't know how he's walking. Dr. Gerber was Jewish. I said, the one that you didn't think was here healed my ankle. Glory to God. See, there are times that stuff happens in your life, and while the devil is telling you something, somebody forgot to tell God. And you got to stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to people and find out what God says. They didn't take my cast off because the doctor didn't believe it, but it didn't stop me from having a normal summer. Every time I take a bath, I put that leg right in the tub. I was scrubbing that cast off. By the time I went back for them to take it off, it was half the cast that it was at the beginning. You got to let the devil know that even though the world don't agree with me, God agrees with me. And I'm going to do what I need to do to get this bondage off me. I'm going to get this burden off me. I'm going to praise God like I lost my mind. I'm going, even if I don't feel it, I'm going to praise him anyway, because I've got a promise. I've got a future, and I've got a hope. You know how people used to sign your cast? People used to sign my cast. I used to scrub their name off. That's right. I didn't want nobody autographing my burden. You don't need people patting you on the back, talking about it's going to be all right. You need somebody to slap you in the face and say, get yourself together. Get your testimony right. The more you lay around whining, talking about what you're going to lose, you need somebody to say, get yourself together. Get up. You got Jesus on your boat. He might be asleep, but he's on your boat. Go to praising God. Go to laughing. When the devil comes to attack you, start laughing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, make melody in your heart. Find a song. Sing anything. Get the praise going. Get the joy bells going. Stop looking at what you can't do. Look at what God has done. You cannot see the greatness of God until you're willing to go to the other side. You have to stop fretting your current situation. Look at where he's taking you. Look where he brought you from. But now look at where he's taking me. If God was merciful when I was not saved, then he's got to be merciful when I am saved. If God met my need when I wasn't saved, then he got to meet my need now that I am. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. But every tongue.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6317P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Join your Bethel family for a special deliverance service on Sunday, August 13th at 6 o'clock p.m. here at Bethel Deliverance International Church. If you desire to be set free, come out to this service.